Hi, Anton Savage here from News Talk. Now, if you're a parent, you'll know the school question comes up again and again. Where's the right fit? Somewhere that's not just about grades, but where your kids actually enjoy learning and feel part of something. Nord Anglia International School, Dublin. It's actually Ireland's only IB continuum school, so kids can start there at 3 years of age and stay right through to 18 following the International Baccalaureate, which is recognised worldwide. The school is known as a warm, inclusive international community. Kids are encouraged to be curious, to try new things, and to build the confidence that'll carry them through life. So if you're curious, have a look yourself. Head to naisdublin.com. That's naisdublin.com. Now, I hope you enjoy your podcast.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
But first, there's been much debate in recent years about the state of our country's capital, the city of Dublin, with many dwellers debating whether the day-to-day experience is diminishing in terms of safety and perhaps increasing in terms of crime. So what is the answer? Well, joining us now to talk about the state of Dublin City at the moment is Dublin City Councillor Manix Flynn and Martin Hart, CEO of Temple Bar and spokesperson for the Dublin Business Alliance. Good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Pat.
Good morning, Pat.
Manix, we'll start with you. The state of Dublin, I mean, there are many who say it's a wonderful city, great place to go for a weekend. There are others who say, I never go into Dublin City Centre anymore. It's too dangerous.
Yeah, both statements are very true. I mean, there are people who love Dublin, including those that won't come into the city centre. They still love Dublin and they still love the place that they're in. But it has a serious amount of problems. The people who usually come into Dublin and enjoy it are people who are leaving and going back elsewhere. The people who live here, the indigenous people who live here and the people who work here, like, you know, find it a very difficult place to navigate and be in.
Now, what are the particular difficulties?
The particular difficulties are the lack of any particular vision and the lack of any particular management and the particular response. So you're either stuck in a massive traffic jam, you're either stuck on a footpath that's broken, you're either having to kind of, you know, get beyond obstacles like plastic bags and rubbish bags. You have to deal with those who are begging on the street. You have to deal with those who are drugged up on the street or drunk on the street. And you have to watch serious violence taking place on our street on a regular basis. Or, on the other hand, we're not too far from here, savage thefts of property and bikes and motorbikes where people are being threatened with hammers. You can see it on Instagram. You can see it on the streets. And that leads to a general situation of, I suppose, a kind of a hostile environment. On the other hand, the city council, the authorities, the likes of Martin Hart here and other individuals are doing their utmost to try and make it a better place. But the problem is, Pat, you know, I mean, if you have a flooded house and you're just concentrating on one room, you've got the whole house flooded. And when you do the flooding house and you clean it all out, the flood is coming down the road. So it's a bit like that particular process. They're not really addressing the overall issues of drugs, homelessness, all of those particular issues. And again, the key issue here is that when people go to court, there's no particular consequences. So it's a great disregard for law and order. And of course, with Drew Harris now gone, we've revamped the whole Garda Síochána corner force. And you've got a very young amount of officers in there with no real big supervision. So there's no real push to actually establish a real law and order on our streets.
You know, you can start at, let's put them away. Let's lock them up. And then the prison authorities will say, well, you know, we've no room.
But it's not, he's
only 16. He's not going to prison. We're not going to ruin his life for him.
It's not a question of locking people up. It's a question of making people responsible for their behaviour. And there's many ways you can do that within city council housing. I mean, in city council housing at the moment, the catastrophic issue of antisocial behaviour, drug taking, threatening, the dilapidation of the housing, the home, all of those impact. And what people want is they want hope. They want vision. They don't want, oh, listen, we're going to be on top of that by 2030. They don't want bland statements. They don't want that situation. They want to see the results. And the results are very, very simple. You take one street, like, for instance, Georgia Street, and you do it really well. And people go, well, look at Georgia Street. I mean, to be fair to Mr. Hart here, I mean, Temple Bar is one of the examples of a thriving, successful neighbourhood. It has its issues, okay, but it does deal with those issues because I'm there all the time.
But is it because it has a reputation for entertainment, shall we say, hospitality, drinking and so on. So therefore, the guards are up and down it all the time. The city council, as soon as business close, they're out there cleaning the streets. In other words, they're conscious of the issues there, and they deal with them, and they deal with them quickly.
Well, well, that is part of the solution, of course. But there was a time when that didn't happen. So there's a residential amount of people, about 3,000, maybe 5,000 people. So it kind of works in a mix. It's still got a lot to be dealt with. So while we concentrate on the city centre, the suburbs, like the likes of Malahide, for instance, like, you know, the Malahide visits, catastrophic antisocial behaviour. People really pissed off, pardon my language, this hour of the morning, in relation to the NTA and the way they're putting in all the infrastructure without really informed consent. And they see their environment, for instance. They see that little nice village being completely undermined by the NTA, by active travel initiatives that are basically, like, you know, make the place look completely and absolute vacant. So you have all these things impacting cycling infrastructure, structure, outdoor dining, outdoor drinking, all of those things lead to an environment that's not managed.
I have to go back
managed.
To you on who's in charge. I mean, we know the Gardaí are in charge of law enforcement. The council, I was just thinking, what do councils do these days? I mean, they hand over water to Uisce Éireann. The roads basically is going to be... what, Transport Infrastructure Ireland?
Transport, but NTA Infrastructure.
So what are you doing? The parks, the libraries,
well, look, the thing
street
about
lighting?
Pat, there's probably about like...
Refuse,
you know,
collection has gone to somebody else?
Yeah, there's probably about 100 different agencies in charge of authority within the city, all not talking to each other. In Dublin City Council, to be fair to Richard Shakespeare, he has made good initiatives. He is pushing it forward. He has made the streets a lot cleaner. He's trying to make the estates a bit more kind of safer. But he's only one individual in an organisation that has 5,500 staff, 63 councillors, and in my opinion, after 16 years, is highly dysfunctional. But the issue is that it operates dysfunctionally. That's okay, the plan. The plan is to operate.
Everything is interlinked, Mannix. Yes. I'm going to come to Martin in a moment to get his take on this, but everything is interlinked. For example, if antisocial behaviour is at such a level that people from the housing department in Dublin City Council are afraid to go in and do what they need to do because they're going to be intimidated and ballyragged, you know, how do you stop that? Are they going to be accompanied by Gardaí every time they go in to maybe to deal with a disruptive tenant?
Well, you take, for instance, like, you know, certain sections of our society. You know, I mean, like, you know, for instance, in Rathkeel, where you have residents down there and you have a whole issue. It's different management with different people. Racist attacks. The issue, for instance, around the flags, the national flag being flown in certain areas, which people are saying is intimidating, is racist, is weaponizing the flag. All of these issues are leading to a situation. So the criminal who's causing the damage, the person who's causing the antisocial behaviour, the racists are all kind of in silos. But the big issue here is that the local authority, the law enforcement agencies, are sitting on their fingers and on their hands, and they're not really, don't have a vision. And it's all very mamby-pamby, and that is the approach. It's all ongoing. We haven't had a meeting of the Joint Policing Committee in over a year because they've redone the whole structures. Local safety forum is completely and absolutely collapsed. So there's all these particular issues. Drug task force, for instance, that gets over 100 million euros a year in order to combat the issue of drugs, is again in slight disarray. We haven't had a report. And then on the other hand, the government are telling us that they're going to decriminalise drugs. And then on the other hand, then you've got children, very young children smoking weed on the way to school. I watch them most mornings, taking laughing gas. And then, as I say, like, you know, the whole business of vaping. Now, when vaping came in, Patty also said, this is great, no one's smoking, but no one looked at the consequences. Now we're looking at the consequences. But the consequences we look at first is how you dispose of the contraption rather than how you deal with the addiction. Yeah.
And of course,
happened.
I don't know what caused the refuse truck to go on fire on the M50 yesterday, but it could well be
that's
lithium
a normal
batteries.
Occurrence.
Lithium batteries, yeah. Who knows? Anyway, Martin, listening to the catalogue as listed by Mannix Flynn, I mean, he has a point.
Look, I have huge time for Mannix Flynn, and I might add, probably the best dressed councillor in Dublin City Council, from what I can see.
And the most effective.
Look, Mannix is a passionate champion for the city, and myself and Mannix have worked together for many years in lots of different things. And he sees things in a big macro way that perhaps we wouldn't see it in some instances. But look, I can only speak from Temple Bar and from the city centre and from what I would see. So I suppose initially I would say, our members are seeing, you know, very strong policing, strong cleaning and management of the city.
Now, how did you manage to achieve that? Is it because you have an identity? You know,
look,
this is the area, Temple Bar,
no,
huge recreational area. And obviously there have been some incidents there. And, you know, we know that people are going to get hammered when they go to Temple Bar. It's part of the experience, I suppose. So therefore, the Gardaí are there. The council know that people are going to litter. So they're there at the crack of dawn, making sure that the area looks nice when dawn breaks.
So a few things. We have the Temple Bar Company, which I set up, and it's a non-profit entity that provides cleaning and works with the guards and the council and others. But as Mannix said, and I take his point very straight away, I suppose. You know, he mentioned Richard Shakespeare, and I think he's done a great job. The establishment of the Office of City Coordination with Carol Mitchell and his team has made a huge difference in improving the city centre. In terms of policing, look, we work daily with Superintendent Dermot McKenna.
Hi, Anton Savage here from News Talk. Now, if you're a parent, you'll know the school question comes up again and again. Where's the right fit? Somewhere that's not just about grades, but where your kids actually enjoy learning and feel part of something. Nord Anglia International School, Dublin. It's actually Ireland's only IB continuum school, so kids can start there at 3 years of age and stay right through to 18 following the International Baccalaureate, which is recognised worldwide. The school is known as a warm, inclusive international community. Kids are encouraged to be curious, to try new things, and to build the confidence that'll carry them through life. So if you're curious, have a look yourself. Head to naisdublin.com. That's naisdublin.com. Now, I hope you enjoy your podcast.
In Pierce Street and with his officers, and he works both with us as a company and with individual businesses. We've always done that. We've done that for the last number of years. It's just
other,
an approach. It's
are
an approach.
There other organisations similar to your own on other parts of the city? For example, they know, the Gardaí know, the council know, if they want to talk to Temple Bar, they talk to you.
Yeah, exactly. And it's the most effective way, because we're able to bring problems in a targeted way.
If I want to talk to Henry Street, who do I talk to?
Well, again, you know, again, this is a situation, as Martin says, like, you know, when there's an issue, you know, there's a news bulletin, and as I say, the representation organisations, be them, you know, Dublin Town or Temple Bar Cultural, Temple Bar Company, get onto the blower and say all is well. But all is really not well. There's certain areas that are well looked after. There is more visibility of policing. That part of that policing is part of that training. They'll be moved on to the next place. And the nickname for them at the moment is the Varicose Vein Squad, because they're standing there all the time.
Can I come into that for just a second?
And they don't particularly move. So when an issue
the varicose vein squad.
No, that's terrible.
But that's Dublin. I mean, that's Dublin.
The profile of the guards on the street. I don't think there's a guard over 25 that I've seen on the street in the last couple of weeks and months. And look, this high visibility policing that it was.
You don't think you've seen a guard over 25 years of age?
Yeah, they're all new. They're in. There's
yeah, but
a huge
they're standing
number
in one spot, Pat. That's
yeah, but
the problem.
That high visibility policing, Mannix, has reinforced.
Yeah, if I see a cop on the street and I'm on the top of George Street and I see a cop down the bottom, he's not coming towards me if I'm committing crime.
If we were sitting here a year ago, people would have been criticised. I don't see a guard. I see a guy smoking a joint on the edges. Now the place is covered in police, and that does reinforce your perception of safety. If you walk through a city and it's covered with people who are using and abusing drugs, as Mannix says, and you will see that at certain parts of the city, but that's to do with the overconcentration of services within the city centre, which we can talk about separately. But from a policing perspective, high visibility policing is working. Assaults, cause and harm are down about 17%. Minor assaults are down 4%. Begging is down 57%. This is information coming from the guards. These aren't opinions, they're facts. Now, the one thing I will say, that more Gardaí on the street does mean more things being spotted and recorded, and that can look like more crime, but it's actually better enforcement. So I think this is a work in progress. The city looks better, it's cleaner. The Christmas lights come on this year, it looks fantastic. It's the best the city has looked in years. Now, I'm not saying that Mannix isn't right and there aren't issues, and of course there are, there always will
okay,
be.
I'll read some of the texts. Dublin is a filthy place, litter all over the place.
Nonsense.
Another one, I don't understand why Dublin is so filthy. Why are the streets not cleaned at 3 or 4 in the morning? The bins collected at that time. I've seen this in other European countries. That's supposed to happen.
No, hold on. That's are these people sitting at home on Twitter in their basements and all sorts of Instagram coming up with I'm in the city centre every single day. I'm working in Temple Bar 27 years. It was filthy 27 years ago. And I can tell you that with absolute certainty. It is clean. I was in Boston recently this summer. It is filthy. I was in Amsterdam. It is filthy. And the smell of urine had knocked
you
down.
Have those compactors worked to clean the streets?
It made a huge difference.
There's two compactors, isn't there?
They made a difference in that area, but they haven't made an overall difference, because if you go onto the north side of the city, you've got a major problem of dumping rubbish. You know, there's issues all over the place. There's an issue of food waste. It's not really operating on the level
that it
should
operate. But this is an issue of civic pride, Mannix, as well, where people are thrown. We see it, and I'm sorry for cutting across.
Okay, okay.
We do see this, where people just throw their bags out onto the street with impunity and expect the council or us or others to clean it up. There's a lack of civic pride in Dublin that you would see in towns and cities across Ireland, which have much better civic pride than some parts of the city.
Since we privatised the waste,
yeah,
the situation has got catastrophic. It's that simple. It's got catastrophic. And there's a motion in Dublin City Council to realign the waste management with us. And it's not just within the city of Dublin. It's right across the state. The problems that we're facing here are across the state. They're across villages and towns. All what we're speaking about here is has the same issues are taking place in villages and towns across the particular city. So there are certain areas like the city centre that get cleaned. But if you go out to the suburbs, you go out to Rathmines, you go out to Wellina, it's manky. So for instance, you know, with all the leaves falling, there was no leaves collection. Yeah. The place got clogged up. It becomes messy. So there isn't an overall, and I understand all of this. I understand that we are moving towards that particular place, but at the moment we're not there. And that issue in relation to visibility, please, I welcome those police, Martin.
Fantastic.
I do. I have huge respect for Garda Síochána, but it hasn't really resulted in people feeling a hell of a lot safer.
Okay,
I think it will over time, Manix. I certainly think the increased visibility by the police and the engagement. Look, I had just a quick anecdote. We had an American lady over recently, and I was saying, "Oh, we're down to meet the police in Tampa Bar." And she's going, "You're meeting the police? What's wrong?" I said, "Well, there's actually nothing wrong. We're just meeting them to update them." And she was saying, "Wow, in America, we wouldn't do that. We wouldn't approach the police. We're so afraid of engaging." And I think that's a really important thing.
And that's all to do with ICE as well.
But the last remaining fact is that the country at the moment, and the most recent statistics that came in from the examination of the water in the system, is that this country is awash with cocaine right across all class and all creeds. Now, when you have a situation like that, Pat, you have to ask yourself, what's going on here? You know what I mean? Like, you know, it's an illegal substance. It's been snorted all across the city in every aspect of it. So it's, again, a major problem that's not particularly being addressed. Like all the issues that we've addressed here, is that there's a kind of an ad hoc approach to it. Okay, it works in certain areas, but it doesn't really work. Mm. There's no real enforcement. For instance, you know, the flags issue, which is a serious issue within our city.
Oh, yeah.
And not only that, but it's a serious issue across the country for a lot of people. The local council who has the job and the duty to do something about that have done nothing about that. They haven't seen. What people want to see is enforcement, yep, is authority at work. They don't want to see people in high-vis jackets hanging around picking their noses.
Okay, I'll read some of the texts. "We have an Amsterdam-style designated area for the dealers, which has been running for the last 2 years. Garda, council, local councillors know all about it. It's contained. That's what we were told a year or so ago. But my God, the number of addicts in the area has multiplied fourfold in the last year, and still nobody is doing anything. They're not specifying, except it's in Dublin 17. So I'm not sure exactly where that is." Another one. "Stop, Pat. No one is going to get hammered in Temple Bar at a tenner a pint." That's a social comment, I suppose. "DCC more concerned with performative nonsense like patrolling the Molly Malone statue rather than taking substantive actions to tackle the real issues that are actually impacting the citizens of Dublin. Take a trip to Poland, look at their cities, clean, safe, no public intoxication, no begging."
And right wing as you would like.
Donald Tusk is in charge. You wouldn't describe
Poland. The
situation here is, and it's again right across the country, and again, it's kind of very interesting because it's going on in national politics at the moment, and you'll be speaking with the Taoiseach later on. The issue of who takes responsibility. No one wants to take responsibility. You ask someone a question, you know what I mean, and they shy away from it. They give you excuses. The reality is that we're talking about the reality. Martin knows the reality. I know the reality. Me and Martin know each other 20-odd years. So the reality is correct. The thing about it is what we're doing with it is kind of like hoping against hope. Now, the wonderful thing is that it's Christmas. It's coming up to a lovely time. The people of this country and the people of this city are sound 100%. You know, they're loving, caring individuals who basically would give you the short off their back. And all they're asking for, Pat, is something really, really simple. They're asking for the people who spend their taxes, the €1.5 billion that goes into Dublin City Council, the billions that goes into the government, to stand up and defend the environment and to give them a better place. And not just to be mamby-pambying around those who are in a peculiar cohort of individuals. You know, the point of the matter is that if you really want to do something, you go out and you do it. You don't talk about it.
Okay, do we need someone in charge? You know, the talk about an elected mayor and so on. So what? Unless the mayor has power. I mean, the idea that we were talking about a housing czar who would knock all the heads together in the different departments and housing and planning and all the rest and make it happen, and the Land Development Agency. In other words, someone who had clout. Do we need someone who's got clout, who can talk to the guards and not say, would you mind doing this? Saying to the guards, you've got to do this. And saying to the city council, listen, that particular flat development has a huge antisocial problem. Go in and fix it.
Very few people in this country will do their job in that sense. They have to do a favour, particularly in the state. Particularly the state is the situation here. The civil service and the state look after the state and the civil service. When it comes to the public, when it comes to housing, when it comes to hospitals, when it comes to homelessness, when it comes to drugs, when it comes to social housing, when it comes to all these issues that we're dealing with here, it's bury your head in the sand. I work with these people. I have huge respect for them. I understand the difficulties of this particular system, but the system is designed to be dysfunctional. Dublin City Council is about to buy Cabin Street site for probably over 100 million euros. They had an opportunity to buy this site when it came on the market by a semi-state body for less, and we would have had the housing. Now they're coming to the particular rescue. You know what I mean? And then when they do open these apartment blocks, like for instance the one in Malahide, okay, which was brand new a year old, most people in there are telling me, get me out of here. It's full of drugs, full of drink, full of antisocial behaviour. I can't go down there in my car. There are people sleeping up on the roof.
So what to do? I mean, you've outlined the problem.
You basically have to do what you got to do, Pat. If the child won't get out of bed for the school, you have to go in and then take the child with you and over to school. You have to do that. Otherwise, the thing is in disarray. You have to enforce the law.
Okay, back to you, Martin. The question of people not doing their jobs. Well, they know they have a job to do. For example, if you're in charge of a particular area for social housing and there's a problem there, your job is to fix it.
Okay, well, I don't agree. Firstly, I work in the city centre. I've been working with the guards and the council for a long period of time. Over the last number of years, things have significantly improved. If you look at what happened on Parliament Street with its pedestrianisation and its improvement, the various public realm improvements, the policing response in the city centre, I'm telling you, it's good. I represent the business. I have nothing to hide here. I don't work for the Gardaí. It is good, it is great, and they are doing their job, and the visibility has improved. Now, that mightn't be the case everywhere, but Dublin City has a number of complex issues. One, in that it has a significant number of social housing units in the city centre. There's a significant number of community services, and by that I mean in relation to drug treatment, mental health, homelessness, emergency accommodation, all in one tiny area of the city centre. You're asking the police to manage what is chaotic. You're asking the city council
but
to manage.
But if you know but where the concentration is, then you have to
but
do
but
it.
But if you're over-concentrating issues in one area, it's just bad management. Uh-huh. And that's strategic with the government. Okay. So there is an overlap between local and national government. Manik is right. And I think a lot of the blame has to rest on, if you're talking to the Taoiseach later, on national government. And their abandonment of certain things with regard to assistance in relation to the Dublin City Centre. Look at the Taoiseach's task force. Came out 2 years ago. You know, I know that city council are working very hard to see it implemented, but what's the government doing to see it implemented?
Last words from you, Manny.
But the point of the matter is that all people actually want is something that's really simple. They don't want, like, you know, a big empire. They don't want big infrastructure. They want it just to see the job being done. And at the end of the day, it's all silos. So you can pull all these people together, but they're going to take no instruction because there's nobody really in charge.
That was
and
the point.
Idea of a directly elected mayor, well, you go down to Limerick. Limerick now is awash with heroin and drugs. And, like, you know, with all due respects to the mayor down there, I mean, there's many issues down there. So the idea of a directly elected mayor is not going to solve the major problems that we have. You've got to go back to local empowerment. You've got to go back to local communities. You've got to go back to the very, very basics. You've got to train people and teach people how to look after their own communities, maintain their own communities, clean their own communities, sweep outside their own particular doors.
But that's
a whole reconstitution. And with all due respects to Martin, remember at the end of the day, Temple Bar is a commercial entity. And the people that Martin represents, no doubt about it, are businessmen and businesswomen, and they make a few bob, and that's what makes them happy at the end of the day. And good luck to them, and I want to see them absolutely destroyed.
Okay.
But in the meantime, the people on the street don't have the protections that they need, and we need to address those particular issues.
Okay.
We're in this
country. We will have to leave
and
it there.
We've
run out
city.
Of time, but
well,
thank you both. Manik
Sfinal,
independent Dublin City Councillor, and Martin Hart, CEO of Temple Bar Company and spokesperson for the Dublin Business Alliance.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Hi, Anton Savage here from News Talk. Now, if you're a parent, you'll know the school question comes up again and again. Where's the right fit? Somewhere that's not just about grades, but where your kids actually enjoy learning and feel part of something. Nord Anglia International School, Dublin. It's actually Ireland's only IB continuum school, so kids can start there at 3 years of age and stay right through to 18 following the International Baccalaureate, which is recognised worldwide. The school is known as a warm, inclusive international community, Kids are encouraged to be curious, to try new things, and to build the confidence that'll carry them through life. So if you're curious, have a look yourself. Head to naisdublin.com. That's naisdublin.com. Now, I hope you enjoy your podcast.